Good day, Nava. Welcome back to the Nava Podcast here in 2021. Happy New Year to you and yours. Trust that you had a restful, joyful break, Christmas, exploring and enjoying Advent. So many from the Nava family commented what a pleasure it was to go through Advent together. Hey, Coxes.
Yeah, beautiful time going through it together. I loved the daily prayers that we did.
Here, here. Stunning.
Yeah, it was lots of fun. Advent calendars.
Love the Advent calendar. My kids do too. Lasted 3 days in our house. All the chocolate, gone.
Just like that.
3 days.
Who was the main culprit?
That's what everybody wants to know.
Okay.
Oh.
We're not going to try to get to the bottom
conspiracy.
Of that here.
At any rate, friends, we are, like I said, excited to be back on this podcast, sharing with you stories and conversations, primarily from our core team, wanting to sow into your life and your devotion to Jesus. If you were able to watch the teaching that Adam gave on January 3rd, he introduced a beautiful invitation around a deeper devotion to Jesus. And for us, part of that looks like embracing a set of practices, spiritual practices and rhythms that serve our growth and our devotion to Jesus. Chiefly today, we're going to be talking about a rule of life. If you're not familiar with rule of life, sit tight. You're going to be all the more ready and introduced to what that is and how it serves your life and your family's life. As well, we're going to be exploring some of the common practices, a common rule that we believe Jesus throughout history has set in our midst that we can participate together. Daily prayer, daily scripture, saints gathered, Sabbath, so on and so forth. A simple definition of what a rule of life is an intentional plan and set of practices that help us abide in Jesus and keep us at the center of everything, keep him at the center of everything we do.
Really important nuance.
Yeah, not us.
Scratch the us, put Jesus there.
Exactly the opposite.
Not us.
Maybe read that sentence again.
Oh, hallelujah. A rule of life, simply an intentional plan and set of practices that help us abide in Jesus and keep Jesus at the center of everything we do. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
We desire Jesus' wise and loving rule in our lives rather than life's chaos to rule over us. Beautiful line. Rather than life's chaos to rule over us. If you're already triggered by the word rule, don't worry. It doesn't mean rules. What does it mean, Adam?
Yeah, a rule comes from the Greek word trellis. And it's the idea of needing a structure or a schedule to allow life to grow up.
Here, here.
To be pointed in the right direction, to create space for life. And all our best romantic ideas pretty much belly flop without a plan.
Come on.
And we all know that. I don't tend towards enjoying discipline whatsoever, but I have learned that the things I want in life require intentionality. Mm-hmm. And without a plan and a structure, which I don't enjoy, they don't happen.
That's
life
right.
doesn't happen. Space isn't created for the things I really value, the things that I want. And so it's not law. Law is prohibitive to keep you away from something.
It's good.
A rule brings freedom. It brings order to the things that you value and prioritize. And specifically in this case, we're aimed at being with Jesus.
Come on.
And becoming like Jesus, being formed in the image of Jesus as we follow Jesus. So that's the heart of a rule of life. We can talk more about it.
Here,
but
here.
Yeah, it's
we will.
Not rules, but the idea of rule, ordering.
Amen. Ordering. Mm-hmm. Additionally, we're exploring and unpacking a set of practices that we believe for all of us in the Nava family would be shared. And we're calling them a common rule or a common set of practices. These practices, as Adam shared, will form us and hold us together as a prayerful family on mission, following Jesus in all of life. These practices have been passed down to us throughout the generations from Jesus and the church at large as a means of our growth, transformation, and obedience to his loving commands. Note, these are not all the spiritual practices, but a great foundational starting place. So excited to share this with you, Coxes, and get into it. Julie, before we go any further, love you to pray and maybe take us into the daily breath prayer from this morning.
Yeah, thank you, David. The breath prayer, if you're not familiar with it, is really just a very simple practice of us receiving our breath from God and giving our breath back to Him. And it's just a recognition that we need something from outside of us to sustain us, to keep us alive.
And that's where it all began.
Adam
got his breath from God.
And when we receive that and actually just slow down enough and slow our body down enough and become aware of that place of breathing, this is not meditation. It is literally just a moment to center our hearts, fill it with the breath of God again, fill our body, our soul, our spirit, our mind with His breath, and then give it back to Him in praise. And so that's really what a breath prayer is. We're doing this little common breath prayer that we have, one breath prayer for the week that all of Nava is praying together. And that's just beautiful to know that my church family is doing the same prayer together. Yeah. We're all centering in the same place. And these have beautifully been taken out of the scripture reading from the week. So we're actually just praying scripture, which I think is a beautiful practice.
You're here.
And so this is part of just pausing, taking a moment. This can be 1 second, or it can last an hour. You can just contemplate on one scripture for as long as you want. And so we're just going to inhale. And I know sometimes, guys, look, I want to be honest here before we pray this, that sometimes these are too long to do in one breath.
Yeah.
And then I'm like,
you kind of feel awkward. Yeah.
And then I'm just like out of breath at the end of it rather than like actually centered and calmed down at the end.
Yes.
So it's about slowing down. So if you have to breathe, then say the word, then breathe out, then say the words, that's okay. We're just going to take a couple minutes, just breathe deep right here now. And we're going to, this prayer is taken out of Luke 8, verse 50. And we're going to breathe in. Do not fear, and we're going to exhale, only believe. So let's just take a moment to center ourselves, even right now as you're listening to this. Become aware of God, and let's just breathe. Do not fear, only believe. Do not fear, only believe. Do not fear, only believe. In my life, this practice really got solidified when I had a very tiny newborn baby who wouldn't sleep for more than 45 minutes at a time. And I'm not joking about that.
Tough times, conscious.
3 years. Boy.
But I was up a lot and sleep deprived. And so like my times with Jesus were difficult to get in. And yet I found real comfort and really experienced the presence of God by just doing a simple breath prayer that I could pray throughout the day at any time. Just take a moment, breathe,
yes,
and pray the scriptures. And it was really a lifeline to me through those times. So I want to encourage you, if even if you're most busy or most tired in your life, this is a practice. And, you know, our common practice of silence, solitude, and prayer, this one kind of encompasses all of those in a moment. Mm. You know, you become silent. Mm-hmm. You just take a moment. Like, even if the world is still, you know, swirling around you, you just become alone with God for a moment and you pray. And so it's just a beautiful practice. Let's just say it one more time. We inhale, do not fear. And we exhale, only believe.
Only believe. Thank you, Julie. I love that. I love participating together in these daily prayers and the daily scripture. Julie referenced Luke chapter 8, which was the chapter for the day, January 12th, and just enjoyed ruminating on Luke 8 this morning before we recorded, Jesus calling us and inviting us to have ears to hear that we might grow in Him. that when the seed is planted, it falls under fertile soil. It's not choked out. It's not stolen. And blessing Nava today to have ears to hear the words of Jesus. And then the chapter finishes with, and then put them into practice. He who hears, listen, obey, and put these things into practice. Practice is going to become a more familiar word that we're exploring here. Adam, I'd love to have you take us in deeper. So appreciate your teach on January 3rd. Now, if you weren't able to watch that, go back, listen or watch that. Would you remind us of just kind of what was in your heart there, the thesis that you were bringing to Nava, and again, how it pertains to even the word practice?
Yeah, deeply formed disciples. We as followers of Jesus obviously love Jesus so much, we want everyone in the world to know Jesus. So this is an uncontainable movement. It's a Jesus movement. There's not one human being we don't desire to come home to the Father. I mean, our name, Nava, it means to come home, bring home. And we want this to go as wide as possible. But in the heart of the Great Commission, as much as there's a go, there is a grow.
Yeah.
And Jesus isn't he's not excited just about getting new babies into his family. He's excited about those new ones growing up into the maturity of love, becoming like him, formed in a family. And so we're as much as we're dreaming about a wide Jesus movement, we're dreaming about a Jesus movement that is shaped and formed like Jesus.
Come on.
And this means a lot to me specifically in the last year. I mean, the reality is this. It's chaotic.
Yeah.
There is so much to think about, so much to consider. There is pressure. Honestly, it's just painful to watch people you know and love hurt each other in this time. It's noisy. There's so much information, and probably never been aware of it more than 2020, when we're supposed to be at home and slowed down, and yet we're getting hit from every direction with things we never thought we'd have to think about.
Yeah.
And I'm aware that there is no neutral formation. You're either being deformed by culture in its chaos, or you're being formed into the image of Christ. If you think you're sitting still, you're not.
Yeah.
You're going in one of two directions. I think that is the reality of it. And so that idea that we either have a rule of life, meaning Jesus is loving, wise leadership over our life, or life is ruling us. And I have experienced life ruling me.
Yeah.
In the last several years at times. I don't like that feeling. I don't like to be frenzied, anxious, overwhelmed, dealing with hurt and bitterness in my soul, driving me, schedule pressuring me, my worst self coming out in front of my children because I'm taxed and work is bleeding on every area of my life.
Like, yep.
I don't like to have my brain filled with all the craziness of the culture. I mean, we can become crazy in like 1.2 seconds.
Yes.
Find ourselves in a spin, a tailspin from something on our social media feed or whatever. And that is not our inheritance as followers of Jesus.
Come on.
It is to be with Jesus. And in being with Jesus, to be like Jesus. I mean, the very first invitation of Jesus was, come and be with me. He didn't sign them up to a program or a class. He signed them up to his presence, to follow him, to be his friend. And he gave them a promise. If they would be with him, he said, I will make you.
Yeah.
If you be with me, you'll progressively become like me. Paul said a little differently, but the same idea. By the Spirit of the Lord, we behold Jesus. When we're with him, when we learn to be with him, we behold what he's like, what he thinks, what he loves, what his idea about the craziness around us or our children or their teachers or their whatever, our coworkers, we behold him. And then Paul says that by the Spirit, we are transformed into his glory from glory to glory.
Come on.
To the same image, little by little. And so that was the thesis, is we want to see this thing go wild. We want love to make a mess. We want Jesus to move, but we don't want to stay immature.
Yeah.
We want to become people of love and peace. And that doesn't happen accidentally. Jesus says, I will make you. If you've ever tried to make something, it doesn't just poof into existence. You have to put your hands on
it, right.
Your mind to it, your design to it. It's intentional. And he called us to go and make, go and form others, teaching them to live like Jesus, to obey everything he commanded. And so that's where we get to this idea of spiritual practices. Spiritual practices can sound overwhelming. Honestly, it triggers shame in some people right away. They feel this, like, I heard about that somewhere in my church history, and all I know is I should be doing more and I'm never doing enough. Right. And if you feel that way, just stop right there and gospel yourself again. You are beloved right where you are. Spiritual practices don't add one ounce of value to the love of God over your life.
Yeah.
What do? They open you to the ability to receive the love of God and to enjoy the love of God.
Come on.
We will never be more sons or daughters than we are right now in this living room.
Yes.
The only question is, will we enjoy it?
That's right.
And so spiritual practices, we give the image of a sailboat. It's lift your sail. You can't make the wind come. I mean, that's the beauty. The difference between sailing and a boat with an engine or a motor, it's like the sailor has to be skilled in lifting the sail and understanding the winds and really in being frustratingly waiting. There's just space.
Yeah.
But the exhilaration of when something outside of your control begins to happen, like the wind filling your sails that you had opened, lifted, postured, positioned to catch it. And now you're gliding across the water, doing something you don't have the power to do.
That's right.
But it wasn't like you did nothing. These spiritual practices open us up to God.
Yes.
And the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. In a process.
Yeah, come on.
The process is patient, takes a lot of time. First definition of love, love is patient. If you want to learn love, become loving, grow in love, be transformed into love out of whatever place you're in, patience will be what happens.
Yes.
It's a process. And so we've often been talking about slowing down to God's speed to be with him. So love is patient. To become loving is a patient process. It's also a painful process.
Oh, yeah.
It's shedding of all of our self-protection, our defense mechanisms, our false identities, the ego ways we want significance, the tendencies to perform and earn, to compete and compare, everything that we've gotten used to doing in our sinful nature. He's got to peel back the layers and put to death for a new birth of life.
Yes.
So spiritual practices are simply raising our sail to the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit, who's already got us fully formed in his mind, a unique, unrepeatable new creation of God that will fascinate God forever. And Jesus is getting his reward. And so that essentially is the thing, you know? And when we group those spiritual practices together, it's called a rule of life. And individually, we've been going on that journey, you know, exploring this for our individual lives, which will be different, but also we're doing it in common,
shared,
because we're not only transformed individually with the Lord, but we are formed in a family. We're actually only transformed together.
Come on.
As the body of Christ is the word that God has throughout the scripture. And so rule of life is not scary.
That's right.
It's relational.
Amen.
It's beautiful. It's freeing. And it has a long, deep history. It goes all the way back to Israel. They practiced a rule of life. Their spirituality was not separated from the rest of their life.
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus, the father before Jesus taught Israel, how do they live all of their life ordered around the love of God? To love God with all their being and their neighbor as yourself. It included how they ate, how they related, how they worked, how they rested.
Yeah.
It included feasts, festivals, their calendar rhythms. It included all of their life. And so the father was teaching them, how do you order your life around what God values the most in his kingdom?
Come on.
We see it beautifully in Daniel. Daniel, in the middle of a chaotic empire that had counter practices to the ways of the kingdom of God, very much like we're seeing in American culture, Daniel refused to bow to that. He participated in the culture, but he was being formed by God. Three times a day, he would slow and center and pray, even when it was going to cost him his life.
That's right.
He was that set on it.
Come on.
We see it in the life of Jesus, of course. We see it in the early church. They called it devotion. We've long loved that word devotion. The mixture of discipline, it's going to be intentional, but it's not discipline first. It's inspired by passion and love.
Yeah.
The aim of a rule of life is not to become a successful person. That's just self-help.
Right.
The aim of a rule of life is to be with Jesus. It starts with love. I want to know you and everything about you and become like you and do what you do.
Come on.
Right? And so the early church called it devotion because it mixed discipline and delight. You know, intentionality and deep love motivating that. And so we find it. And then into the first century with the desert fathers, they were pulling out of Egyptian culture into the desert and ordering their life around Jesus when they felt the culture was falling to pieces. And you go on a little further into the 500s with Saint Benedict, who popularized rule of life. To this day, monastic communities around the world have been shaped around the beauty of ordering our lives Yes. around the priorities of love. All of life abiding in Jesus and doing what he does. And so we are novices.
Come on.
I mean, we're just like
just beginning.
Stumbling our way yeah. through this, and it's called practice. Like, I'm not really great at most of it. I'm not wired. I love creative planning, ideating, and I do not like carrying that out in a methodical way.
Yeah.
I just don't. It's not how I'm wired. But I love that together we are getting to practice.
Beautiful. Mm. Julie, why don't you pick up on that and share what your personal process has been about around the rule of life?
I think, when I was thinking about this question before, I realized I've had some type of rule of life since I was a really little girl. I grew up in a Christian home that had really beautiful structure. And so I grew up in a set of practices and a rule. But realizing that a lot of that wasn't chosen by me, but beautiful that we get to actually create these safe places for our children to grow up into a loving relationship with Jesus. And the practices are not going to make them have a loving relationship with Jesus.
That's right.
But like Adam said, it's going to aid them in when the Holy Spirit meets their heart, they're got their sail up to receive
Come on.
That in a new and beautiful way. So I was thinking back about all these times, like, you know, when I used to have to, you know, do my quiet time. We all, you know, grew up in the church with those little quiet times and read the word. But then I remember when I was around 8 or 9, when the word became really life-giving to me. And I decided, like, I'm going to read the whole Bible all the way through from beginning to end. Wow. As like an 8, 9-year-old. And it took me much longer than a year. I'm going to be honest. Wasn't like the Bible in a year.
Well done for doing it at all.
But
I wasn't anywhere near that.
I just found out that the other day, and man, I don't know what to say. Anyway,
I know. Goodness,
but there was this desire in me to know God in a beautiful way and thinking like, man, he wrote this about himself and I get to know him in a really incredible way. And so, you know, I can see moments like that throughout my life. I was part of a mission community in my early 20s, and there was common practices that we did, rules. But then really when Adam and I got married, we were like given by the Lord this mandate for our lives from Ephesians 2 that said, you two are being built together to form a dwelling place for God or a home for God.
Come on.
And he really spoke to us very clearly that we had to be intentional in our marriage and in our lives to create a space for him to occupy.
Yeah.
And, you know, that space can fill up super quick, you know, just with the chaos of life. Like we've said, you know, so many things we can put ourselves in the center of that instead of God at the center of that. But that was really when I would say our journey towards something like this started. And then over, it will be 15 years this year, just walking through the different aspects of that. But a few years ago, we got even more intentional about it over our sabbatical time. The Lord gave me just John 15 to read for 3 months. And I was like, oh no, this would be like 3 months sabbatical. I can like read lots of the Bible. And he just kept saying to me, go back one chapter. I want you in one chapter.
Amazing.
And this idea of abiding. And, you know, I've always known that. And it's like such a great word. You're like, yeah, you're the vine. I'm the branches. Like I'm abiding in you. But how do you do that? Like, how do you stay connected to the life source?
That's the practicality.
I mean, that's the question, right? And like Adam said, we're great at the big dream and idea. And anyone who's been around Nava long enough knows how, you know, we like new ideas and vision. But the practicality of how do you actually just do this? Like, what are the things, the practices we can do that keep us abiding, connected, and also that help us, you know, keep that space to create a place for God? And so that's really when we got a lot more intentional and learned a lot more about this rule of life and this ancient practice. And so that's been what's growing in us. And as Adam and I got to the place of like, well, we personally wrote down stuff and then together, because we have to hold these things in common. We don't live isolated unto ourselves. You know, we're not the desert father where we're out by ourselves with no one around us.
Yes.
And so we have to make these work in family. And I, you know, started getting down into the lists and the details and the calendaring, and I got overwhelmed. Like really quickly, because my personality is like tick all the boxes, you know, perform, do the right thing, and I've got a super high responsibility chip, you know, and so I'm like, I've got to do this, I got to be perfect, I got to be the good example, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm overwhelmed by this, and I just took a step back and felt the Lord say, what are you aimed at? What do you want this?
Yeah.
And then I'm not measuring my success of a rule of life, you know, and I say success in a loose form there, because is it actually what is success? It's abiding.
Come on.
And so I just took time instead of doing all of that scheduling and everything. I took time with the Lord to say, what is like the aim? Where do I want to end up when I look at it? What do I want to be? And he gave me the scripture from Romans 14 that says, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. Wow. And I realized, okay, I want the kingdom. That's my aim. The reason I'm doing all of this is so that I can live in the kingdom now. He can be at home with me. I can be at home with him. And it's done in the Holy Spirit. Like Adam explained, it's the wind. It's the thing outside of myself that I need to rely on. But my ultimate aim is to live in righteousness, right relating, peace, have the shalom of God at the center of my life. And then, you know, joy, that this is joyful. This is unto not a structured, disciplined life, but actually a joyful life that's full of the Holy Spirit, that's enjoying the people around them, that's enjoying God. And so, you know, that's like kind of what I then took and then worked back from that place into how do I slowly work into these things into that.
Love that, Joel. Yeah.
Dave, what was your process of kind of personally coming into Rule of Life?
Yeah. I mean, within our friendships even, we began to kind of knock on this door a little bit. And we're being confronted by our limits, by our stresses and pressures, coming into honest acknowledgement of the anxiety level that we were feeling, and began to, you know, sharpen and challenge one another around that. And
I mean, we're in the house right now that we moved into in 2003 to kind of, we didn't
have that language.
We never heard rule of life in it. It's when you find language, it's like, that's what we're trying to do.
Yes.
But it's cool. I'm just thinking we're sitting here right now in the place we kind of started experimenting with this.
Yes. It's huge. And so thankful. Like, we're not starting from zero.
No.
God's been building this in us progressively along the way.
And everyone listening to this has a story.
Absolutely.
Of God trying to do this in their life, whether they ever had the language or not. That's freeing for me.
That is. Like, well, even Julie going back to her childhood. Like,
how do
I
not know about this can freak you out.
Yes. So yeah, be assured and encouraged by that, Nava. But I think in the last couple of years, was really impacted by John Mark Comer, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, which has been a great book and resource for us. Slowed Down Spirituality, for those that know me. Cox, as you know me well, I'm just move quick.
Always
and
moving.
I realized that I almost idolized like that type of frantic pace. I thought faster was better. I just did. I hated slow. It was like traffic was like tormenting. I despised it. And I was like, whoa, realized strong emotions. I'm using those words intentionally, being confronted by my attitude towards slow and realizing, oh wait, God's pace is different. Adam, you shared at the beginning to slow down enough to catch up to God. That's counterintuitive for me. And so rule of life began to introduce me to a different way, a new way. That's a very old way, very ancient way. You know, the trellis image caught my imagination. I want to abide and bear fruit. John 15, I'm like, man, who doesn't read that and think, that's what I want my life. I want to abide and bear fruit. And to have, you know, those that I respect bring this to us afresh and be like, oh yeah, this is not new. This is old. This is somewhat new.
So good.
But man, it just hit that taproot in me, bro, of like, oh, I need this. My family needs this. They deserve the best version of who I am, you know, to bring that to my children and parenting, to bring that to Molly as a husband. I was aware it required some major adjustments and changes and some intention. Like, again, it was like general adherence to these practices. You know, over the next 8 to 10 weeks, we're going to be talking about, you know, silence and solitude. I practiced that a little bit. Daily scripture reading. I think I practiced that pretty consistently. Gathering with the saints, Sabbath, some things that I was somewhat familiar with, but then to put it together and to see, you know, the future of my life, living that out, I was like, I gotta have it.
You get a glimpse of a long view. And man, I just want to say, as your friend for many, many years, you're a different man.
Mm, yeah, I agree.
Thank you.
You're a different man over the last 2 years. I'm not just saying that, like, I knew the 19-year-old, 20-year-old David Blackwell, fast pace, everything. And it's profound to watch into it, man. It really is. It's blessed me. Actually, we spur each other on.
For sure.
You've helped me get into this and find language and new ways. And I think for me, it was a perfect storm.
Mm.
I hit a life development of turning 40, which they say is the midlife crisis.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt like Jesus was like, no, it can be midlife with me. You know, as cheesy as that may sound, it can be midlife with Christ.
Come
like
on.
You can actually come to a crucible of midlife, which is designed to do that to you and become better. And then I hit the intensity of pressure. I've talked about that. I mean, growing responsibility, favor can be difficult. Like the more open doors there are, the more I just find my head spinning, waking up like in anxiety, literally my chest heavy. I have a history of anxiety anyways, but then perfectionism and pressure and like experiencing the pain of what's going on. And then the other part of the perfect storm was what you said. I started getting introduced to beautiful teachers in church history, modern teachers, Ruth Haley Barton, Pete Scazzaro, Dallas Willard, John Mark Comer, on and on, podcasts. And they're all saying the same thing. Like, if you want a life of love, try this, you know, any spiritual teacher of prayer, like slow down, be silent. We'll talk more practically maybe in a bit, but that one's super hard for me. And so, and I've told you my water heater thing, you know, God can use something so practical as a water heater to go, the pressure's increasing. It's going to blow. It's literally now exploding into your office and into your house. It's blowing your pipes.
Yeah.
It's affecting your family.
Yeah.
You've got a little pressure release valve. You do a little Bible reading here. You do a little day off.
Yeah.
You need to install a pressure regulator into your main home line. We had to do it in the same week, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Where God said, no, a rule of life will be a regulator for the pressure all the time, not a little pressure release here and there. And it will not only regulate the pressure, but keep you in the pleasure of God and in the priorities of God.
Come on.
And come to find out, that Latin word for rule is regula.
Yeah.
So when I found that out after that, I had already felt God kind of saying, do this, do this, do this.
Yeah.
And I was so overwhelmed by like the thought of it.
Sure.
And I just couldn't sit down to do it because I was too perfectionistic. And then when that happened, I just knew the address of the Father, like it's time to take a 40-year long view towards a different Adam Cox who lives and abides in peace as a man of love.
Come on.
And this is what you want to be. And so here's the way to pressure regulate.
Bam.
And it was profound.
So good.
There's an invitation for us.
That's right. For all of us. And
yeah, ahead, I want to say, even isn't that funny? Like, I think when our different personalities, when we're faced with something like this, we're like all or nothing, right? We're like,
yeah, sure.
Either I've got the whiteboard out, I've charted everything, I've planned everything, and you know, or you're just like too much, can't do like some of that perfectionistic talent. Like, I won't get it perfect, so I'm not even going to start because I'm setting myself up for failure. And yeah. I think that's, you know, just to be like, we don't have to live under that pressure. This is about love. This is about growing with Jesus and with each other.
Amen. Cox has so enjoyed this. I want to dive into practically what this has looked like, but we're going to have to do that next week. Nava, we bless you to enter in further. Just take one more step with the Holy Spirit. If this is new, it's okay. God is patient. Be patient with yourself. But let us aspire to know and follow Jesus, to abide and bear fruit, and to experience the blessing that comes from shared practices, a common rule within our Nava family, and as an individual or with your own family, establishing a rule of life that will serve the growth, the dream in your heart to be the man or woman that you know you are in Christ. We love you. We'll see you next Tuesday. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.